Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Here he is to talk two films with all-star cast. Ben, welcome to Open House.
Good evening to you. How are things?
Great to see you and talk to you, Ben. How are you?
Mate, I'm fantastic. Thanks. I just finished off the night church. I go to a church in Annandale,
yep,
in Sydney. We just finished up. We've been doing Song of Songs at our church, which doesn't get preached on very much. So we just did ended a 6-week series on that.
Yeah.
And I've got a little bit better understanding about what that book is all on about.
I know. Dominic Steele Facebooked me and said that he'd be keen on listening to the interview of Helen McCabe last week, who joined us on Open House. So there you go.
He's been trying to grapple with this book for many weeks. I think he did a pretty good job of presenting it to us.
He's a good man.
Really in concise things he could.
He's a good man. Let's start with movies. Carnage, starring Jodie Foster and Kate Winslet. This is an all-star cast and a black comedy.
And a movie, it is. I think depending on your viewpoint, or at least depending on your sense of humour. But moving from Song of Songs, which is such a great love letter to, particularly to Christian marriage, is what that's focusing on. Moving from that to Carnage, which is about two marriages, and effectively we're watching two marriages dissolve over about the course of 75 minutes, one more prominently than the other. But it's based on a stage play, Carnage. You're right. It's got an all-star cast. You're also exactly right in that. And very simply, it's about these two couples. So John C. Reilly and Jodie Foster are one of the couples. Kate Winslet and Christoph Waltz are the other couple. And they've been brought together in a New York apartment because their two boys, who are in their early teens, had a fight in a playground. And these two couples are brought together because of that. And at the start, they're just trying to deal with that incident itself. But then across the course of like 70 minutes that we see them together on screen, not just their marriage dissolve, or at least their relationships. You actually watch human beings dissolve. That's pretty much what Carnage is about. You're watching moral exteriors crumble. I think the point of Carnage seems to be to demonstrate that the majority of people, according to this movie, you just scratch the surface of people in the civilized world, and it doesn't take very much that they just descend into kind of anarchy within relationships. They go from being these really presentable people to being these horrible people.
Is there anything underlying in why they descend like that, why they go that way?
I think one of the downsides to the film is that it's a bit of a caricature when it comes to it. And look, this is, I guess, sort of the way a lot of art goes, doesn't it? Like, you have to exaggerate things to make a point, usually. Like, if you're going to contain human relationships to a 79-minute movie, you've really got to sort of ramp them up a bit, exaggerate them a touch, just so we kind of recognise what's going on.
Yep.
So you get this, it's very sensitive, there's a heightened sense of what's going on with these relationships. But this is from director Roman Polanski, and look, what he seems to be suggesting in this movie is that people have an exterior. They pretend that they're civilized. They pretend they love each other. They act that way. They act like they're good and nice and hospitable and charming and all those kind of things. But once things start not going according to plan, then very quickly people have no moral grandstand, or they've got no moral recourse because they've got no morals locked in the etched in stone. They've got no morals locked down.
And also, it's all about me more and more.
So the movie does become like, these people become remarkably selfish remarkably quickly. So when they're initially talking about boys not behaving well, you just start seeing the adults not behaving well once they don't get their own way. And then halfway through the film, strangely, it kind of picks up halfway through when they start arguing even more. But it's actually kind of the worst aspects of the film because you start seeing husbands and wives arguing between each other in front of other couples, tearing each other down.
Yeah.
So it's a really it's a great contrast with Song of Songs, which strongly depicts in the Bible, in that book of the Bible, how loving and how kind of devoted a Christian relationship can be. And not to say they're all perfect, but in relation to Carnage just demonstrates that if you don't have a similar moral foundation and ethical foundation, any kind of grounds of recourse that you both can call to, like the Bible, like what God instructs, if you're not calling out to those as your starting point, Carnage just demonstrates you basically you just kind of swing all sorts of ways. One minute you're liberal, one minute you're remarkably conservative, one minute you're angry, one minute you're crying. Like it can show the fluctuations of human relationships when they're not anchored in the Christian faith.
Yeah, and there's also the question of why you go to the movies. I can just hear my dear old mum saying, "Dear, I won't go to the movies to just feel worse about the world." And it sounds like this might be it.
I think a lot of people, that's going to happen for them. And I can't say I came out uplifted. Like, the performances are great, and it's often very smart and witty dialogue that you're getting in this film. It still feels like a stage play. It's largely contained within this New York flat. Especially for the first half, it feels like it's been manufactured that way. It just doesn't quite feel real. That was some of my issue with it. But also, you're exactly right, and I think your mum, she wouldn't have given this a terribly good review, I don't think.
Yeah, so, but mind you, from the experts, it got a reasonably good reception, 72% from Rotten Tomatoes, and was nominated for a number of awards.
Yeah, that's right. Well, but it is the kind of talky, well-acted... It's a kind of movie that I think if you don't have any kind of religious framework to your life, particularly... This kind of movie is talking to people outside of a religious framework. It's people that that their moral core, their moral center is them, and that whatever they decide is the correct way to operate, that's what they decide. And Carnage actually does demonstrate that when your moral code is challenged against somebody else's, it actually sort of shows that, well, who's right or who's wrong. Like it demonstrates that when one character says this is the way to go, the other one says no, it isn't, this is the way to go, well, then they're at an impasse.
Yeah.
And for me, that's why, like, the Bible just makes, what God tells me in the Bible makes so much sense, because when I try to work it out myself, I end up like Carnage. I end up like these people in that. And so your mum would be exactly right. It does not make you feel better about the world, but it is well acted, very witty dialogue, and there is some good black comedy in there, but it's a pretty harsh, caustic, very cynical portrait of human relationships.
Okay, we've been warned. On to our second film, The Safe House, starring Denzel Washington and Ryan Reynolds. Run us through this one.
Yeah, look, this is something completely different. So, it's completely different to Carnage. So, Denzel Washington is a CIA, former CIA operative, who went rogue about 10 years earlier than when the film begins. So he's been on the run, sort of selling secrets and stuff. He's the bad guy, allegedly. Ryan Reynolds is a young CIA agent who's got a posting in Cape Town, of all places. And then Denzel Washington's character turns up in Cape Town. And he's got some secrets. The CIA is trying to catch him. He goes to the safe house, which is where Ryan Reynolds is posted. And then from there, safe house becomes basically another action movie. Like, it doesn't have a lot of depth to it. Like, we talked a few weeks ago about Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
Yep.
And we talked a lot about how that film, the levels of espionage going on, that double cross, the sophistication of the actual spy movie, in that instance, was very detailed, a lot more character-driven. Basically, there's no action in Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, apart from guys walking around quickly in trench coats. That's about it. That's all you get. Whereas Safe House, it's got some really good action, particularly a car chase that goes through the center of Cape Town. It's just great. It's like a Bourne movie. It's like one of those Jason Bourne movies.
So it gets pretty tense, being a thriller.
It can be. It's a thriller, but it's not that thrilling. Like, it's a movie. Given, like, Denzel Washington, I struggle to think of a bad performance that man's put in.
Sure.
I can't really think of one. He's a guy that he just walks on and does anything, and you think, great, it's Denzel Washington. So he does that again in this film. And Ryan Reynolds, too, I'm quite the fan of. Last year, he was in The Green Lantern, which was a bit so-so. But the two of them together, I just expected a bit more from this spy movie. Okay. So it is basically another spy movie with some car chases. There's some quite graphic fight scenes as well. So people that are going along just for, like a bit of light entertainment, you might be a bit harder hit by some of these harder hitting scenes.
I think Mum's struck out with this one too.
Oh, no, I was going to say your mum, like she's got nothing to do with this week. But look, I think I found one of the more interesting things for me trying to reflect on this film a bit more deeply, and not trying to say that the movie's trying to be anything particularly deep. But there's a point in the film where Ryan Reynolds is watching Denzel Washington's character be tortured, and for me, it was actually raised a really big question of what do you do when you're in a workplace or just when you're in any situation where something bad is happening and you know it's wrong, what do you do? And particularly in a workplace is a great environment for this example, what do you do when it's those higher up the chain and they're telling you to be involved with it? Yep. What do you do? So Safe House actually has got some reasonably big ethical minefields going on in it, if you want to see them. So, otherwise, it's just a bunch of car chases, guns being shot, and another spy movie where you can pick the ending from the start.
Yeah, really. Oh, yeah. So Hollywood. So it got some mixed reviews. What's your take on it, mate?
Yeah, I'm pretty much that way as well, mixed. Look, I think a lot of that mixed reviews on this film comes from the calibre of the cast, which also features the great Irish actor called Brendan Gleeson. Brendan Gleeson, Denzel Washington, Ryan Reynolds in a spy movie set in South Africa, which is an unusual place to set any movie. Like, we don't see too many films from South Africa. Hmm. All of those things packaged into one film. I'm thinking it's one of those movies that reviewers, they pretend this isn't the case, but it's the case. Like, you do go in with expectations. And I think that's what's happened with Safe House. You go in with expectations thinking this is going to be something different. There's no reason these guys would sign on if it's not something different. Turns out it's not that different at all. And look, by the end of it, big questions about deceit and double cross and just organized corruption and cover up and all those kind of things. But if you want to see a movie about that, go and see Tinker Tailor Soldier.
Okay, mind you got to say that this one's been up against some tough competition when it was released, like The Vow and American Gangster. Perhaps that's got something to do with the rather lackluster response to The Safe House.
Yeah. Look, I think it's more come down. I'd imagine it's a movie. I haven't talked to too many people who have seen it, which might be an indication that not many people are seeing it. But for me, it was one of those movies that I think if I watched it on DVD on a Friday night, I'd be mildly entertained by it, but I wouldn't remember it 5 minutes later.
Okay.
And I think that's what's happened at cinemas. Those that have seen it, they're not running out of the cinema telling people they've got to see it. Whereas a movie like The Artist that won the Oscar a weeks ago, the word of mouth on that thing went off like a rocket.
Okay.
But there's a huge difference. Word of mouth makes a massive, massive difference to movies, sometimes more than we actually give it.
Oh, too right. Absolutely. And, you know, we're just talking with Adam Boland before about the power of social media, and that's kind of word by mouth too.
Oh, yeah. And even the last couple of years, we've seen some movies die a death because of social media.
Totally.
Like Green Lantern, the Ryan Reynolds movie last year, that happened.
Yep.
Which raises huge questions about people prejudging a movie.
Yes.
And about, even like, you talk about judging a book by its cover and not giving anything it's due.
Yep.
Like, again, as a Christian, it's a massive challenge for me to go into a movie and not prejudge and think I've got to, I shouldn't even be thinking about it as judgment. It should be just going in there assessing, and like your mum wanting to go and see something escape this season.
Totally.
To go and enjoy something. So social media is a big, it's a challenge, I think, for film lovers to not buy into what seemingly the world is saying online before you go see a movie, because often it's wrong. At least I find anyway. People are just spouting off and they don't know what they're talking about.
I'll tell my mum she got about 5 mentions tonight. Ben McKechnie, thanks so much. As always, mate.
Have a great week.
Good on you.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.